So we've been thinking for some time about the prophecies of the Lord and what they mean to us. And you know, the whole Bible speaks of worshiping the Lord, doesn't it? The whole Bible speaks of Jesus. Some of it speaks of Him before He came, and some of it was while He was here. But you know, I believe the Lord wants to help us to be a part of those glad tidings today. It didn't stop at the time of Christ. It just goes right on, clear to the end of time. And so I want to look a little bit at the thought of being a true worshiper of the Lord. It's easy for us to have a form of godliness. And it's easy for us to hear of Christ and know a lot about Christ. And it's easy for us to know a lot of His ways. But it's something else for us to truly be a worshiper of the Lord. And so this morning I hope that we can be inspired in our hearts. Folks, there is good news for you and me. And God brought it to us. He didn't bring it to us on a gold throne, but something much greater. He sent His Son to die in our stead. He was humble, He was lowly, and He paved the way for us and showed us the way to get to heaven. So this morning, there is a way for you and for me to get to heaven. And God help us today to get there. It's not to the smart. It's not to the well-off. It's not to only the poor. It's to everyone that will humble their hearts and be poor in spirit. God wants to take you to heaven. And so tonight, or this morning, as we start looking into this, the scripture in Luke 2, we know this is the last Sunday before Christmas Day. Is this coming Friday? I feel like the Lord's given me some things along this line. At least to start with. And so we want to look at Luke 2 and 8. I love this whole story and the way it came about. You know, Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, but they had to pay their taxes in Bethlehem. And so at that time, you had to leave and go, I suppose, to pay your taxes in the place you were supposed to pay. And so their place was Bethlehem. And so while they were there, this story begins to tell us a little of what happened in their life. The 8th verse, Luke 2, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." Now, let's just get the picture. Here were these lowly shepherds. Now, why did God not appear to Herod? But here were these lowly shepherds. Folks, we're not too lowly for the Lord to appear to us. And they were in this same area. And it says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And this morning, I hope one thing that we can get down in our hearts. Folks, these are good tidings. Everything to do about it makes your life more what it ought to be. They're good tidings of great joy. And that's what the angel said. "I'm bringing you good tidings, folks, of great joy." He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, why did God choose to do it that way? This was a stable. This was a place where animals were kept. And that's where Jesus was born. He didn't bring him to be born in a palace. Folks, we don't get much lower than that. That's where the Lord meets us, isn't it? That's where he started. That's where he came. Folks, he can be on your level and on mine. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, pieces of cloths, lying in a manger where they put hay. He's going to be laying in that little place where they put hay. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Folks, I hope you know the Lord's making known something unto you this morning. I don't know how well you know the Christmas story of Christ and his birth and how he came to save us. But he came here and and it says here in verse 15, as we read, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." You know, they came and found the Lord out, didn't they? When they heard about him, he was close by. I want you to know something. The Lord's close by today. And he wants us to go find him out too. We're being told about him this morning. And there's a story to tell. And it's of great joy. It's of good things that change our lives in a good way. It'll make our lives right. That's what the Lord came to do. You know, this morning in verse 20, dropping on down, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Don't you know they were worshiping the Lord? Don't you know that they were adoring him? I'm guessing they saw the angels come. They heard the singing. They heard they saw all of these things. And then they went and saw the Lord. And there he was, just like they said. And so this morning, let's look over here in another place in Matthew 2 and 1 to 2. Matthew gives a little more account. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" You know what? God made himself known to these people. Did that stop right there? Or has he made himself known to you too? I think he's made himself known to you too. We keep hearing reports of people in Muslim countries and they have dreams and the Lord appears to them. And some, you know what, I just believe that God makes his appearance to all men. That's scripture. You know, the Lord may be making his appearance to us today. It says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east." Do you know this morning, those were wise men, it says. And I want to tell you, wise men still seek after the Lord this morning. You know, in Isaiah, I'm not going to turn here, but I'm just going to quote some of it. Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, folks, this is talking about Jesus. He's going to be called the Mighty God. You know what? He has all power in heaven and in earth. The Lord does. He has enough power to help us in our situation, doesn't he, this morning? And so this morning we see the Lord coming as our Counselor, as our Mighty God, as the Everlasting Father. People miss a father many times nowadays. I want to tell you something. Jesus wants to be your father. The Prince of Peace. All around us being trouble and war and talk of trouble and talk of all kinds of raging and hatred. And I want to tell you something. We serve the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He's the one that provides it. It needs to be in our hearts. When it's in our hearts, then we have something to give to other people. Then we'll have something, as we sang a while ago, tell it on the mountain. We'll have something to tell people about. Because the Prince of Peace has come on the scene, folks. I want us to think this morning about the different reactions that people give to the Lord Jesus. You know, not everybody welcomed him. Do you know that it's not new today that people hate the cause of Jesus? Do you know that people's hearts today, it's not a new thing for their hearts to be dark and hardened and wicked? It's not new. And so we want to think about the good reaction, the bad reaction, and the indifferent reaction this morning. Folks, that is a decision we make. We make that decision about how we are going to treat the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We can treat it. We can adore him. We can hear the good news and believe it and let it become the center focus of our life, the rest of our life. Or we can oppose him and hate him and say every kind of bad thing about him and trouble his people. We can do those things if God lets us. Or we can just be indifferent. But folks, we're all going to meet the Lord one day. And he sent a Savior that we can be ready for that time. I want to look over a chapter, or in the same chapter, in fact. Let's read on down. In verse 3, it says, when Herod the king, now this is right after the wise men came looking for Jesus. Come to worship him. Come to worship him. Bow down to him. Humble their hearts before him, adore him, pray to him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, he wasn't happy to hear this news. You know, he wasn't pleased at all. I want to tell you a little about this man Herod. This king here, if you read how he got his place of authority, it was through wickedness and vice all the way. And then I want to read a little out of Barnes' commentary about what he says about him. Which not only had he killed his wife's mother and his own two sons, and his wife he had a public execution for, but this man was so wicked. I'm going to read to you, and you'll have to listen closely to get it. What happened in his very last hour or two, hours. In his last sickness, this is according to Josephus, a little before he died, he sent orders throughout Judea requiring the presence of all the chief men of the nation at Jericho. Okay, all the chief men in Judea, I want you to meet in Jericho. That was his order. And it had to be obeyed at the price of death. And so his orders were obeyed, for they were enforced with no less penalty than that of death. When they were come to Jericho, he had them all shut up in the circus, and calling for his sister Salome and her husband Alexis, he said to them, my life is now short. I know the Jewish people, and nothing will please them better than my death. You have them now in your custody, As soon as the breath is out of my body, and before my death can be known, do you let in the soldiers upon them and kill them? All Judea then, and every family, will, though unwillingly, mourn at my death. No, Josephus says that with tears in his eyes he conjured them, by their love to him and their fidelity to God, not to fail of doing him this honor. You know, this morning, I hope you caught that. That's who Herod was. He wanted to make sure that they mourned at his death, and he was so wicked he knew they would rejoice. And so he wanted to have all these rulers put to death as soon as he died, so that Judea would mourn. That's who Herod was. And so when he saw that God had sent Christ, Jesus, and the angels had spoken to the shepherds, and he knew this, he knew all of that, it didn't matter to him. He only had one thing in mind, and that was his own selfish ambition. And so, you know, so now we'll read on down, and this may make a little more sense to us. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, this was Herod, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now remember how telling this is. Hundreds of years before, the prophet said this. And they knew where it was going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen in Bethlehem. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. What a story this is. What a true story this is. Folks, this is no fable. These are the things that happened. God made this to happen. And Herod felt so incensed. And he felt as if my kingdom may be taken by this king. Didn't matter that he knew God was setting this in place. And so then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, or very angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. And so we see that of Benjamin, or was it not? Anyway, I want us to just think about that this morning. Folks, there is the same today as there was then. Do you know there was people that when they heard about this, they went to the Lord, they worshiped him, they loved him, and there were those that hated him. And it is the same today. And we must not expect less. And we must not be bitter against those people. Because they're going to be just like this. This man Herod, one of the wickedest people you can imagine, how could he go and kill all these little babies? How could he do that? All these little children, 2 years old and down, however far down he went. So I want to begin to think about now this morning. You know, the Lord is looking for those people that will worship Him and serve Him. In John 4 and 21 and to 26 begins to tell us a little of the Lord's heart. He met this woman at a well, and he began to tell her the things that she had done in her life, and she was awed by that. But he says, Jesus saith unto her, because she was, anyway, there was a little conversation before that. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know it's not enough for us to worship God knowing the truth? It is not enough for us to have a form of godliness, to come before the Lord even daily in our little prayer and yet not worship Him in spirit and in truth. I have to believe this worshiping Him in spirit has something to do with our whole mind and heart and soul and spirit and all the things about us. I have to believe that there are those true worshipers that worship God that way. And that's who He's looking for this morning. And so when we begin to think about worshiping God, let's remember that it's a lot more than just a form. Let's remember that God wants to speak with us. He wants to deal with us. He wants to appear to us. He wants to be real in our lives. And He's looking for people that will reciprocate that this morning. I was thinking a little about what it meant to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I'll tell you how they used to worship the Lord. The children of Israel, the best they knew, the best God had given them at the time. And they had a great temple, and it was covered with ivory and gold and beauty and all of those things. And they had music in there. They had all kinds of things. It was an awesome thing. It was a wonder, wasn't it? And so external worship has a splendor and an awe that draws the flesh. We were in Mexico one time, and way down in, and we went to a church there that had a place that the ceiling must have been 30 feet high. And the walls were all covered in that whole area up front. Was all covered with gold. I mean, I think it was all the way to the ceiling. If it wasn't, it was right up to the ceiling. And here, all of this gold, it was a splendorous thing. It was really amazing. I've seen those kind of things. You know, there's things that awe people in the flesh. That's not what God's looking for. There's great musicians that put on a show that is truly amazing. It's very pleasing to the flesh sometimes. But I want to tell you something that really appeals to the flesh, but it's not the true worship of the Lord from the heart. You know, this morning I was in a place in Salt Lake City one time, and they had gold there, and they had a huge pipe organ and different, I can't remember the whole building, but it was kind of an awesome thing. And you see those things, and I think about the song that says, not in the temples made with hands, though beautiful by art. But God, in mercy, condescends to dwell within my heart. When Jesus came, he changed things completely. Up to that time, it was a worship in the flesh. And the scriptures in the New Testament tell us they were not able. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant was not able to do what God wanted to do. And so all these beautiful things, and I want to tell you, they do inspire sometimes. They inspire awe. And they cause sometimes our hearts to be, or our minds to be lifted up. But it don't necessarily affect our lives outside the place. My brother-in-law told me one time when he was young, he just went to different churches here and there. And he said there was one church and their music was so and everything. He said, I came back from there pumped up like I'd been to a ball game every Sunday that I went there. But he said, I wasn't even saved. You see what a delusion that can be? And so when the Lord came, he came without pomp. He came without all of that stuff that ignites the flesh and the awe in the flesh. But he came with a deep and spiritual life that he wants to impart to you and me. And he told this woman at the well, he said, the time is coming and it now is when the true worshipers are going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. With all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. And in truth, they're not going to worship him in the ways of the flesh, in the old ways, the old covenant of all the things that they used to worship him in. We find all kinds of ways people try to worship the Lord. But in simplicity of our heart, the Lord would like for us to worship him. And so he tells us a lot about what true worship is. And this morning I want to encourage us to have true worship to the Lord. Because what can happen is we can live our life in such a way that we have a very good regimen. We get up every morning, we read, we pray, we go, we do. And I will tell you, the Lord has pricked me before. It's good to read. It's good to read through the Bible, all those things. But let's make sure we worship the Lord. Okay? Maybe we do or don't understand all of those things, but let's go on a search. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want you to know me, which he does. And I want to know you, which we can. Oh, how the Lord longs for that today. And how we as people, if we're not careful, will fill that up with other things. And we'll clog all of that longing that we have to know the Lord. We'll clog it up with all these ways of the flesh and all the things, all the external worships and things that people fill it up with. In Matthew 21 and 14... to 16, it says here, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Now these were the leaders, these were the church leaders of the Jewish law. And so when they saw him, the people worshiping the Lord, they were sore displeased. Now, you know, they could have known better. Simeon knew better. Anna knew better. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto him, yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? You know, this morning, the Lord's not looking for a degree for us to be able to worship him. He says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. The Lord wants our heart to be in touch with His. And we don't have to be very far along the way to do that. We can simply respond to the call of the angels, to the call of the Lord upon our heart and upon our life, and offer our heart to the Lord. That's the worship the Lord wants us to have. So this morning, there's good news, folks. There is really good news. And it shall be to great joy to all men. Folks, this is good news. This is the thing that we need in our life to make it right this morning. You know, the Old Testament says, for Christ, well, this is Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, and now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know, they had the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt, where the common man could never go, ever. But the new covenant tells us that it's not that way now. He's not entered into the places made with hands. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. It's easier for us to worship in a form, folks. It's easier for us to get a little book and go by that and just da-da-da, I did my worship, than it is to open our heart and know the Lord and give Him our whole heart and soul and mind and strength. That means He's the focus. He's the center. And that's what He wants to be. And folks, when He's that, that makes a big difference in our life. It's easier to worship in a form. It's more appealing to the flesh sometimes. But it can be void of the real worship of the Lord. It's easy to fall into habits. And I just want to encourage all of us too. We're just people too. The Lord's had to come along and touch me. Hey, I want you to worship me. I don't want you to just read my Bible. I want you to worship me. The Lord wants that, doesn't He? And it's a beautiful and a lovely thing too. Now, I want to read a story here in Luke 2, or we'll tell part of it maybe, but Luke 2 and 25. And we read this here sometime back, not long ago, about Simeon. But this was a man that I don't know. This story just enlivens me. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Just a man in Jerusalem. This was no king. This was no ruler, it doesn't say. Whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now tell me how the Holy Ghost was upon him. Folks, any time people sought the Lord, don't you know he loved that? Don't you know he loved to draw near to that? And so much more so today when it's opened, the veil has been rent and we are able to go into the very presence of the Lord God. And here was Simeon. And it was revealed unto him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Lord, the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And that's beautiful, isn't it? He just recognized. I wonder if anybody had said anything. I seriously doubt it. It says he was led by the Spirit into the temple. And then when he saw the child, he picks him up in his arms. Oh, Lord, now let me depart. I've seen the Lord's Christ. How did he know all that? Because his worship was different. He knew the Lord. Is this just for a few special people that lives in a never-never world? No, it's for all of God's people. Yes. Folks, it's for us to enter in. But it's not a nominal It's not a nominal religion today. And it's not a religion that's filled up and caked with the flesh.
Yes.
And so we read on here. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then it goes on and it says, There was one Anna. Here was another one in the temple. This was before Jesus died on the cross. He was a baby. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I want to tell you something. That doesn't sound like a life given to the flesh. This woman had zeroed in on the Lord. She had zeroed in on God. And that's what she was after. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. You know, there's always been that kind of thing. There's always been those like Herod, and there always will be. And don't expect it to be different in our day. Folks, we hope for tranquility. But we don't know what it's going to be. And we want to be ready for whatever it is. That our heart is prepared. Lord, I don't have to have the blessings of the flesh. I just need you. That comes from a worship that's given to God completely with our whole heart and soul. And mind and strength. And don't think, folks, that we're going to live after the flesh and be ready for a day like that. We're going to have to live in the Spirit all the way. We're going to have to live a life that is given heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to read another place in Matthew 13 and 18. Now, this is a very familiar parable that most of us have heard over and over. It's the parable of the sower. And here, Jesus says this. This is him speaking. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Did you get that? When anyone hears the word and doesn't understand it, and then they just go away. What's that? That's the indifferent. That's the man that didn't seek. What's this about? Now, wait a minute. I don't understand this, but something tells me there's something to this. You know, this morning, we must not be indifferent. It'll take us the same place wickedness will. The Lord help us today. But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's something in the word that his little level of earth is only about this deep. And so his roots just go right down and stop. Because they're on something hard, a rock, something that he doesn't want to do, something he doesn't, something that's there. It's as far as that person can go. Folks, we're responsible for our soil, aren't we? If there's something like that, then we need to get the jackhammer out. And we need to go down further and go through that until we get to a place where the Lord can grow things in our life. We might have to throw out some bitterness, some unforgiveness, some fear of the future, or some thing that we always just simply wanted. That's just my dream. We're going to have to get rid of things except for what God wants, folks. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, you know what? We're all in the same battle, folks. We're all in the life together. We can all fall into any of these categories if we're not careful. And so, the deceitfulness of things, of what the world offers, the glamour, all of those things, they can take our mind, can't they? Well, we already lost the worship of the Lord then. If that's what our mind is on, if that's all we care about, then we've lost the worship of the Lord. Our soul and our strength must be centered around God and His will. And folks, if it's not, I want to tell you there's going to be a day, hopefully that day comes before the judgment, that we find out I'm not centered up in the Lord. I'm centered up in my own things. Oh, the Lord wants us to be centered up in Him, given to Him. Lord, what is Your will for today? Lord, what is Your thoughts about my life? What is Your what are You wanting? But listen to this last one. I love this. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Now, you understand everything you hear? No, but this person figures it out. They seek it out. Lord, what do You mean by that? What's that mean to me? And they understand because they sought it out. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Oh, the Lord wants to bring forth fruit in our life. I hope we just totally realize that. God wants to bring forth fruit in my life. He wants to make you someone that blesses the world. Yes. You believe that? Amen. You better believe it, because it's the Bible. These are the ones that diligently make the Lord the center of all their life, the center of all their affections. They purposely set their affections on things above. Now, you know who does that? You know who's supposed to do that for you? That's not God's job. That's your job and my job. Set the affections. I have to set my affections. I have to take my affections off sometimes, because there's things of this life I really like. I really enjoy. I could enjoy them so much they could consume my life. There is things like that in my life. And I have to purposely say, no, I'm going to set my affection on the Lord. Because that takes too much of my time. Not because I can't enjoy anything or enjoy any of it, but because I have to put it in its proper place. And then these people here, folks, this is very telling. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. They purposefully make worship to the Lord paramount in their life. And the result of that is they bring forth fruit. So this morning, I urge us today to bring forth fruit. We're not going to do that on our own, and we can't. But if we'll do this, we'll grow, and the Lord will put fruit into our life. And that's the way it works this morning. Oh, the Lord help us today that we allow Him into those places in our life. I'll read one more, maybe two more. John 13 and 17. Jesus here was washing the feet of the disciples. And starting at verse 17, he said, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Now, you know what that was saying? That's talking about Judas betraying the Lord. And he said, he that eateth bread with me. We're right here enjoying this meal now after the foot washing. And we're enjoying this, however it happened there. And he said, I'm telling you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Do you know this morning that we said there were those that were wicked? There were those that really wanted to do God's will, and then those that were indifferent. Do you know that's in every spectrum of life? And if we allow somebody to get in between us and God, well, they're a hypocrite. They're a hypocrite. I want to tell you something. Judas was a hypocrite. And he was right there with Jesus. Judas was a hypocrite. What did the other 11 do? They gave their lives to God. And God changed the world. You know, this morning, that's something for us to think about today. Oh, let's don't allow anything to stop us from worshiping the Lord. Yeah. Every day, Lord, let me into your inner place here. I need you. I need to hear from you. Because all of us are the same, folks. And in a while, if we're not careful, it'll become a form again. And we'll find ourselves, Lord, I need your presence, and I'm not feeling it. Like, I know I'm missing something. We start seeking the Lord. Lord, what are we? It's a form. It's a little too much of a form. I want you to seek me lively every day with all your heart. I want you to be wanting to know what my will every day. I want you to seek me. I want you to worship me. I want you to come before me and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, not just those words, but in worship to the Lord. Hallowed be your name. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the gift we have to be able to worship together this morning. I don't take that for granted anymore. I've been praying for our meeting. Lord, it's just a week away. Help us be able to have it. Don't let a bunch of sickness break out where we can't have it. Lord, we need this meeting, I believe. Help us to have it. Lord, would you meet with us here? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us and cause our people to go deeper, to go higher, to be more grounded, to be more enthused, to have zeal? Did you know zeal comes from that contact with the Lord? That's a lot of where it comes from. Oh, we can get around other people and get real zealous for a bit, but it all wears off. I want to tell you, get around the Lord daily, and He'll put fire in your soul. And it won't. It won't be something that quits. It'll be something we'll have to rekindle it, because maybe we get a little lax or a little formish. Oh, the Lord bless us today. The Lord wants to cause us saints to be His people, to love one another, to be a light to the world. Whatever the world is around us, it don't matter. Whatever it is, He wants us to be a light right in the middle of it. I'm going to read one more place, Psalm 105 and 1 to 5. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I print my scriptures out. It just helps me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Oh, today, thanks. I really believe the sky's the limit. In fact, it's not the limit. The heavens are open to us. God that spoke and the heavens came into existence longs for a real live walk with us. And we may walk with the Lord, but I want to tell you something. He wants us to just, he wants that to be enriched. He wants it to be enlivened. He wants us to have our joy full. And I say that too, Lord, make my joy full. Oh, he gives us so much, but it's limitless, folks. Let's let him give us until we can hardly take no more. Y'all pray for me. I want to live for the Lord. I want to make those choices. I want to walk with him. I want to make it my priority that daily I take time to not just read a chapter. It's easy to read a chapter, say a little prayer, and get going. But folks, we want to walk with the Lord, and we will only do that on purpose. So the Lord help us today. Amen.